Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this evening for another opportunity we have to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, tonight that everyone listening is listening with their Bibles open so that they can follow along with Brother Dale tonight to see if what he preaches come from your divine word of truth. Heavenly Father, bless every person listening. Bless this call. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Plunder. We're very thankful to have each and every person on tonight, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We ask you now to get your Bibles, open it up, pay attention to the things that will be taught tonight by our speaker. We kicked off this week. We've been speaking about the same thing all month, faith, hope, love. And we're closing out this week speaking about being saved. And last night, we had a great kickoff by Brother Anthony Flunder and all those following up with him, Brother James Dale, Brother Jerry Norris, Brother Richard Odom, and Brother Greg Weston. And tonight, our speaker in the person of Brother James Dale. Brother James Dale, he's been on our call before. He's a repeat defender, as we call him. He's served for Northside Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. So thankful he accepted our invitation to come on again tonight. Brother Dale, talk to us about being saved, the saved in the church.
Yeah, it's good to be here tonight. I appreciate, again, this opportunity to be able to come on and share with you this word, this message from God's word. It's an important subject matter when you're talking about the idea of salvation and the church. You know, there are those out there today who believe that you don't need the church to be saved. And it's an interesting thing to consider that you don't need to be in that which Jesus died for. So to say that someone doesn't need the church to be saved is like saying we don't need blood coursing through our veins in order to live. You can't have one without the other. And so when we're looking at the idea, the concept of the church and finding those as who are saved in the church, the scriptures are clear that one must be in the church to be saved. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with the audience tonight just some texts that actually describe the church. And I believe that's one of the best ways to help us understand that you cannot be saved outside the church and that the saved are in fact in the church. The saved make up the church. So if we're looking for salvation, if we're looking for forgiveness of our sins, we're going to find it in the church. And I know there are those individuals who are confused because of what denominationalism teaches, and they don't like organized religion, and they see that as the church, but they are missing something if they don't understand the different terms that are used to define the church. And once you define those terms, then you begin to see that you cannot be saved outside the church, that the saved are actually in the church. So we're going to begin with Ephesians in chapter 1 in verses 22 and 23. Paul refers to the church as the body of Christ. He says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and made him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, over in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 18, he says something very similar. He says, he referring to Christ, he is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. So in identifying the church itself, Paul, by inspiration, tells us that the church is the body of Christ. Now, that's important because if we're trying to understand, can we be saved outside the church, that would, in this case, be saying you can be saved outside the body of Christ. Not only, though, do we find the scriptures referring to the church as being the body of Christ, but Paul also clarifies that it is the saved body of Christ. Again, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 5, And down in verse 23, he says, "For the husband is ahead of the wife, as Christ also is ahead of the church, he himself being Savior of the body." So what we noticed earlier in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 is that the church is his body. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, he is the head of the body, which is the church. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 23, he is the Savior of the body. He is the head of the church. And if the body is the church, then he's the Savior of the church. The question then is, how can you be saved outside of the church when the church is the body that Jesus is the Savior of? So salvation is found in the church. In fact, when you go back to Acts chapter 2 and you look at this first Pentecost sermon that Peter preaches, as he proclaimed Christ to them, he tells them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 that they needed to repent and each of them be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And he keeps on preaching to them. And it began in verse 40. It says, "And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on urging them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls." Now, the question is, what were they added to? Well, if we go down to verses 46 and 47, we read the same chapter, chapter 2 of Acts, "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." Now, the King James Version says that the Lord added to the church day by day those who were being saved. Now, if we understand in verse 47 that the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved, and then we go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, and we find out that he's the Savior of the body, then they were being added to the body. And we know that the body, according to Ephesians in chapter 1, is the church. So, of course, they were being added to the church as they obeyed the gospel, repented of their sins, made that confession of Christ, and were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Then they were added to the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. It belongs to him, and so it carries with it his name. So when those who determine to obey the gospel are open to receive the grace of God through an obedient faith, the Lord adds them to the body, adds them to the church. Christians are added to the body of Christ, having been purchased by the blood of Christ. So because Jesus died for us, and we are willing to accept his sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, then we are added to his body. In Romans chapter 6, down in verses 17 and 18, Paul here writes, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were entrusted. And after being freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." And then in verse 7, chapter 1 and verse 7 of Ephesians, he says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings or sins, according to the riches of his grace." So, according to Romans chapter 6, we were slaves of sin. But because we became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which we were entrusted, and of course that's in Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 through 7, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" That's the pattern of teaching, that we follow that form of teaching that we become obedient to. So with a pure heart, a desire to do God's will, we were obedient from the heart. We entrusted ourselves to God's plan, and we were buried with Christ in baptism. Paul said in Ephesians 1 that redemption came through his blood. And that brings about the forgiveness of our sins. And then, of course, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, we're told to be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He's speaking to the elders at Ephesus here. He says to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the purchased of God, the purchased of Christ, who have been purchased with his own blood, is the church. So when we obey the gospel, when we are obedient in faith to God's commands, and we are baptized with Christ, God there purchases us with that blood, and we become the church. We are added to the body, the number, and thus you find the saved, those purchased with the blood of Jesus, in the church of Christ. So the redemptive price of the work of Christ was his blood. He offered that blood for us so that we might find forgiveness. And thus the church was purchased with that blood in Acts 20 and verse 28. So the church is composed of all whose Christ's blood has redeemed. If we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we've been redeemed, purchased out of sin, and we've been brought into something. In fact, when you look at the definition of the church, the ecclesia, it is the called out. According to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, we have been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we have been transferred out of sin, out of darkness, and we've been transferred into something else. That something else is the body of Christ. That something else is the church. We cannot be saved outside of the church. To be saved outside of the church is to say that you're being saved outside of the body of Christ. And like I said earlier, if we go back to what Paul is writing in Ephesians, Jesus is the head of the church. And then in verse 18, he is the Savior, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, he's the head of the body, which is the church. And he's the Savior of that, according to verse 23 of Ephesians 5. So if we're looking for and answering the question, can one be saved outside of the church? Or another way of putting it is, are the saved only found in the church? The answer is clear, yes. How can we be saved outside of the body of Christ when the body of Christ is the church, which he purchased with his very own blood? Another way that we might look at it too, here very quickly, is the fact that the church is made up of those who are sanctified. And the word sanctified, the idea of being set apart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. So in verse 2, he refers to this group as the church of God. He says it's in Corinth, and it's those who've been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. So the church then is made up of those who are sanctified, those who are set apart for the work of God. The sanctified are not found outside the church. And the only way that we are sanctified is through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, the shedding of his blood, and our obedience to that as we are buried with him in baptism to receive the washing of our sins through his blood. And again, going back to Acts 20 and 28, that he purchased the church with his own blood. So the sanctified are found in the church. Those who've been purchased with the blood of Christ are found in the church. The saved body is the church. And we also find out that it's those who are reconciled who are found in the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their wrongdoings against them, and he has committed us to the word of reconciliation. We are reconciled to God through Christ, through his blood, purchased into the church. So the body of Christ is the body of the reconciled. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were previously were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the hostility, which is the law composed of commandments expressed in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two one new person, in this way establishing peace, and that he might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the hostility. Now, of course, in Ephesians, he's dealing with the issue of the law here, but it's clear that in verse 16, he reconciled both Jew and Gentile in one body. We're reconciled together in the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. And he did that through the cross itself. So if we're considering on whether or not one can be saved outside of the church, the answer is clear. The saved make up the church. We are the church. We are the called out. We are the body of Christ. We're the saved body of Christ. We are those who have been added because of our obedience and the receiving of the blood of Jesus in baptism. We are the sanctified. We are the reconciled. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul says, we are those who are registered in heaven. He says, indeed, true companion, I ask you also, help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement as well as the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Now, our names aren't in the book of life unless we've been purchased with the blood of Christ, unless we've been reconciled, unless we've been sanctified, unless we've been added to the saved body, which is the body of Christ, which is the church. So the body of Christ, the church of Christ, that's where you find the saved. For someone to say that we don't need the church to be saved, I understand what they're saying. I believe what they're speaking against is denominationalism, the idea of this organized, they'll refer to it at times as organized religion. And they see that and they say, well, we don't need that to be saved. All we need is Jesus. Well, in part, that's true. All we do need is Jesus. But since Jesus is the head of the body, and the body is the church, then we must be saved in the body of Christ in the church. So again, I understand what people may be arguing against from a denominational perspective. But what the scriptures teach is that the saved make up the body of Christ. And so, no, we cannot be saved outside of the church. To be saved outside of the church then is to be saved outside of the body of Christ. It is to be saved outside of Christ. And how can we be saved outside of Christ when it's Christ who's purchased us with his blood? He's the one who died so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. And according to Romans chapter 6, it's one of my favorite passages when we're dealing with how do we bring ourselves to be part of this body of Christ. It's through our obedience to that command that Peter gave in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. When he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then in that same chapter, we find that they were, verses 40 and 41, and then 46 through 47, you find that they were being added to the number of believers, those who were saved, those who made up the body of Christ. So that baptism that he tells them to participate in, be obedient to, is what you find in Romans chapter 6. And I quoted verse 3 earlier. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Now listen to this. This is important. He says, therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death. So that, this is why, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. And then as I said earlier, down in verses 17 and 18, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We were added to the body of Christ, following the command that Peter gives in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. In verse 37, once they hear, according to verse 36, that God has made him both Lord and Christ, as Jesus you've crucified, they were pierced to the heart, verse 37 of Acts chapter 2 tells us. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter told them what to do. To repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And when we do that, when in our faith we obey the call of God, then we find ourselves being added to the body of Christ. We find ourselves in the church of Christ. In fact, let me share one other passage here with you. Often you will hear people who will say that the means of becoming part of what God offers us is just simply just say a prayer. And if we say a prayer, then we'll become part of that body of Christ. But you see, that's not what the scriptures teach. In fact, if you go back and look at Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, he was on his way to Damascus, and the Lord appeared to him and told him what to do, and he refers to him as Lord. He wants to know what he wants him to do, and he tells him to go on into the city and to wait there, and it'll be instructed. So when Saul goes in the city, he's in there for 3 days. He's fasting and he's praying. Ananias, the Lord appears to Ananias and tells him what to do. Go and talk to him and tell him what he needs to do. And I've shared that with people before. I said, do you think that Saul was saved? And they're like, oh, yes, he was saved because he did what the Lord told him to do. He's fasting. He's praying. I mean, if anybody's saved through just simply praying Jesus into your heart, he is. So you would have to conclude that he's part of the body. Yet when Paul himself recounts that event in Acts chapter 22, he's telling the people what happened to him. He actually tells us what Ananias said to him when he came to him. In Acts chapter 9, he doesn't reveal everything to us. He doesn't reveal everything that Ananias said. It's not until we get to Acts 22:16 that we hear the rest of the story. So we look down and we find over here in Acts chapter 22, and I'm going to begin just a little bit before verse 16, verse 12. And a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time I looked up at him. And he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now listen to this. Pay close attention. Ananias says this to Saul. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. You see, Paul had been there for 3 days praying and fasting, and he'd yet to call on the name of the Lord. He'd yet become part of the body of Christ. He certainly believed, but he had not yet obeyed the gospel. And that's very clear because Ananias says that he's to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. His sins have yet to be washed away. And in that act of obedience in baptism, that's when he calls on the name of the Lord. And that is when he's added to the body, to the church. That's the same individual who wrote, by inspiration, Ephesians chapter 1, telling us that Christ is the head of the church, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. He's the same one who told us in chapter 5 and verse 23 of Ephesians that Christ is the Savior of the body. So Paul was very well familiar with the church, very well familiar with the body of Christ. He wrote about it. He was one who became part of that church, became part of that body when he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He understood that you could not be saved outside the church, and that all that the saved are found only in the church. And we need to understand that as well. If we seek to be saved outside the church, then we seek to be saved outside of Jesus Christ. And we cannot be saved outside of Christ. And that's where I'll end that.
We appreciate you, Brother Dale. We appreciate you so very much. Thank you so very much for helping us to understand that the saved are in the church. And that's what we want our audience to hear tonight, that the saved are in the church, specifically the Church of Christ. And only church you can read about in the Bible. If you're on the call tonight and you've heard this message tonight, we did this intentionally. We want you to know these truths because your soul is so precious. And you have to obey. You have to be baptized, as he talked about tonight. If you're on the call tonight, you haven't been baptized, or maybe you were baptized before, but you're not a member of the Church of Christ, then that baptism did not work. That wasn't the true baptism. So you need to be baptized again and obey the gospel according to the truth. And that way the Lord then will add you to the one church, and that church is the Church of Christ. But Dale, in Phoenix, Arizona, we got a sound congregation there, you all, a sound preacher. We're so very thankful he accepted our invitation to come on our call tonight. We got so many listeners on the call. We're just very grateful to God that you have chosen to come and hear us tonight. Now, if you decide you want to be baptized or you want to obey the truth and become a member of that true church and be added to the church by the Lord, then get back with the person who's a member of the Church of Christ, more likely, invite you to our call and tell them you want to obey the truth. And they will get you in touch with their ministers or their local preachers and those who serve there with them. And they can further teach you if you need it, or if you want to be baptized, they'll make those arrangements. If not, you can email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we'll make the arrangement for you no matter where you are in our listening audience. And maybe you want to go back and listen to the recorded message. You can go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And there you can go back and rewind the tape. It's free download. You can put it, listen to it on your way to work or in your private studies, and record it and take notes and stop it and be clear on what he's talking about. And if that's tonight's subject is not what you're interested in, it's more on there on our website. All the different things you may want to know about who we are in the Churches of Christ. We believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. Let's pray to God. Father, we thank you for your blessing of life. Thank you for Jesus, your Son, whom you loved, and you loved us, and you gave your Son, and he loved us enough to give his life on that cross, shedded the blood, as we learned tonight, that will purchase the church. He's the head of his church, and his church certainly is the wife of Christ, and he wears his name, the Church of Christ. And we thank you, Father, for loving us, and we thank him for suffering a tremendous death on the cross, that we could have this hope of eternal life. We pray for our listening audience, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ, that they have received your word tonight with meekness and understand it's able to save their souls. We thank you for our brothers and sisters across this nation who join us each night and support us preaching the truth. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for Brother Dale and men like him. We pray for him, pray for his ministry, pray for that congregation there in Phoenix, Arizona, that you continue to bless them in a special way. We love you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, another great night. It's Tuesday night of this last week of February. We kicked off last night. Brother Flunder did a great job tonight. Brother James Dale came back and nailed the same thing in the church tomorrow night. Jerry Norris out of Dallas, Texas. We're talking about baptism now saves us. Thursday night, Brother Richard Olin from Midland, Texas. What one must do to be saved. And then closing us out this week, another one from West Texas. Brother Greg Weston, talking about are there a few that be saved. Oh, we got a great lineup this week, great speakers and great topics. And then we're getting excited about the month of March, you all. We got some great speakers, some you haven't heard. Brand new speakers are coming on our call. And we're just so thankful this call has been a blessing to me and blessing to everyone I know I talk to in the Church of Christ. And I really appreciate these messages and all these sound preachers across the nation. Now, if you're traveling, you're looking for a sound congregation, all these preachers are in their congregation and listen on our website at Sound Congregations and Preaching Schools as well. And we hope you will go on there if you're traveling. Put in the name of the speaker, the name of the city you're going to, and we'll provide to you a sound congregation to attend. We love all of you. Join us tomorrow night. Another message from the Lord. May God bless you is my prayer. Have a good night.